your blood-bought gift. Today we claim.
Sanctify today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our night for praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I look forward to this night all week long, because this is revival for survival, folks. Pure and simple, revival for survival. We have no option. Things have deteriorated so far and so fast in America, and not only in America, but we can see it in many other nations also, like Canada and Australia, the Western Europe, which used to be the heart of Christianity. It's really all mostly dead now, but what's happening is there is a vicious, what I call the spirit of the French Revolution, that's in this, what's filling in this void, what used to be empowered by the church. The Holy Spirit would be hovering over the countries, even though they were full of sin. There was restraint there from the Holy Spirit. That seems to be gone, folks. And it's a free fall now to the bottom. And the what's filling it is absolute hatred for Christians. Loathing hatred for Christians. So we need revival for survival. Now, I posted on my Facebook and blog during the week an article titled "Evangelism in America: When Christians Are Afraid to Stand Out." And I noticed in the article it talked about this great fear that's come over believers, where they're afraid to speak about the Lord, but even more, they don't want to be identified as anti-diversity. They want to like dress and act and speak just like the world. And basically what has happened, I'm have an article. Let me just read this here briefly. I believe in the politically correct, politically charged climate of our culture today, believers are afraid to take a stand and to look different for fear of being accused of being intolerant towards others. Unfortunately, we have reached a point in American history where Christians are afraid to speak biblical truth in love out of fear of retribution. Many Christians have assimilated into the culture of the world so they won't offend anyone. It's a very good article. If you get a chance, read it. I'll be posting it on my blog. I don't think I posted it yet on the blog, but I will be posting it on the blog also. But I've been thinking about that, about fear. And so many of the people that I minister to with broken hearts have fear. They're full of fear. And well, fear is sort of a default of us, for us, in this sin-cursed, fallen world. So unless, I guess you could say you grow up in a real loving family, especially with like a loving, as the Bible would say, Abba Father, the tendency is to develop fear, a fear in the heart. So then I'm looking at all this fear in Christians, as this article has found, and then I'm thinking about the massive amount of drug use in our society, legal and quote legal and illegal drug use, people just full of fear and that are not taking drugs, having problems with fear, anxiety, panic attacks, things like that. But then I'm looking at the divorce rate and the amount of busted homes and kids growing up where there maybe is no father or maybe no mother also, and they might be kind of running wild in the streets. So what it is we have a tremendous amount of youngsters that are growing up full of fear. And then you take the pressure from the world on top of it. And that's when they become afraid to speak. But, you know, they could be, part of this could be a fear of rejection. They've have no foundation growing up at home, or very poor foundation. And they very well might be afraid of being rejected. So this is like they want to be a part of the crowd to be accepted. So I've been kind of thinking on this quite a bit. And what I come to realize is that when we pray for revival, for survival, when we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where it first really needs to begin is in the church. All of this fear of believers trying to speak or afraid to speak about the Lord, afraid to stand out, afraid of being criticized. How can the Lord use these people if their hearts aren't healed and strongholds pulled down in their minds of fear? And also, I've also kind of linked together ministering to people that fear and unbelief go together. Fear and unbelief go together. So we have a huge amount of people now, believers, that are paralyzed by fear, which I believe is coming. The root of it is a broken heart. That's what I believe. It's a busted family. You know, and I'm speaking in generalities, but large percentage. A busted family, they're growing up with a broken heart. They may grow up in a family where the mother and father have broken hearts, and it's passed on to them. They may grow up in a divorced family where the divorce broke their heart. Maybe they break up in a they grow up in a family where there is no father. This is the disintegration of the family unit. Maybe there's a stepfather that is extremely violent. Things like that. So yes, I've come to clearly see that our praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit now is focused upon starting within the church. Starting within the church. And then once that fire of the Holy Spirit is burning in the church, purifying. The Holy Spirit is a purifying fire. Well, when the Holy Spirit is like burning fear out of our hearts, out of our minds, freeing us from rejection, you know, everything that goes along with healing of the broken heart, then we have an army of people that are ready to take this message to the rest of the country. So they both can kind of go at the same time. I mean, you could, and I'm going to show you that. I'll show you that tonight, dealing with Peter. They both can kind of go the same at the same time. It doesn't have to be the believer's hearts healed and then, you know, 10 years later. No, it can happen like a mighty move of the Holy Spirit on the believers. And then at the same time that happens, then the great outreach to the public. some of the great revivals in the past, probably all of them when you look at it, one way or another, the revival starts, and it starts with God's people. Well, since I just turned Facebook on, I might as well say hello to everybody and kind of just start. I'm in YouTube. Hello, Martha. Kathy, hello. Let's see. Haiti is here. Zephaniah, Pastor Zephaniah, hello. Downright is here. Hello. Shalom. And everybody that's watching. And I just turned Facebook on. And Greg is here in Facebook. Hello, Greg. Gigi, hello. Naomi, hello. Yeah, what happens is I started the show and didn't turn Facebook on, and Rue let me know it. So I think I'm going to have to draw up a list and, like, tape it on the by my computer. Something like a pilot has to go through. There is probably about 10 things I have to do to get the show going, maybe a little more, because it's complicated with YouTube, Facebook, and Uber Conference, PowerPoint, getting the camera set up so you could see it. So that's what I'm going to do, Rue. I'll draw up a little list and then kind of check it off so I don't do that again. Thank you, Rue, for telling me. So what I was talking about is fear that the powerlessness of believers today by this one article that I read during the week that was a tremendous eye-opener. How this spirit, I'm going to call it the spirit of the Antichrist. You could also look at it as the spirit of the French Revolution. It's a hatred towards God. Anything to do with God it wants to destroy. And Christians are growing up in this, especially in the college atmosphere, and they are overwhelmed by it. They're full of fear. They are not being a witness for the Lord. They don't really want anybody to know that they're believers. And they've camouflage themselves into the world where they maybe look and act like the world. And at the root of this is they do not want to be identified as anti-diversity. And anti-diversity is nothing more than a scheme to destroy Christianity in America. Diversity in America now means anything but Christianity, because the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Narrow. Now, of course, anybody, it's open to everybody. It's not just any type of race or gender or creed or anything like that. Anyone can come to the Lord, but the message is exclusive. It's his shed blood on the cross to pay the price for sin. That's the only way to get into heaven. And the believers are weak today and can't stand up against the message of the world. So what I'm saying is that my focus now, and I think our focus in prayer, should be specifically for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst the believers, for the healing of their heart for fear, among other things, but the healing of the heart in general, and the pulling down of strongholds in the minds of fear and unbelief, among other things. So that's what's really crippling the church today to be a witness for the Lord and holding back the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is fear and unbelief in the heart, among other, and rejection. But among other things, it's a whole gamut of things. But that's the main, and also in the mind, strongholds of fear and unbelief that maybe have been put in there since infancy. Now, kids going to school today, they're subject to drugs. I mean, quote, illegal drugs like Ritalin and other things, and they have kids diagnosed depressed at 8 years old, going to psychiatrists and psychologists, and who knows what they've been subjected to. So these kids are all damaged, like, from that stuff at an early age. Now, of course, the Lord can heal it all. So I'm seeing, Lord, folks, that We really do need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst the believers. And I also want to say that I was reading an article about Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. And at the end of the article, it was just a short little blurb, but it was really good. It talked about the healing of the broken heart. And then Franklin Graham, I read something about him. And he also wrote about the healing of the broken heart. Now, maybe I don't read probably it's the only thing I read about Anne Graham Lotz, L-O-T-Z is her name, Lotz, last name. So maybe she writes about this all the time. I am not aware of it. But Franklin Graham, I've posted articles about him, I mean, numerous times. And this is the first time that I can remember picking up about the broken heart. So maybe the Lord is starting to break out now and get this out to the people about the healing of the broken heart, which is what we need. It's like the message of the hour. Speaking of that, I want to show you prophetic scripture about the heart. It's very interesting. And we'll go to the prophet Malachi. And we'll go to the very last words in Malachi in chapter 4. Most of us, if you study prophecy, we really know Malachi 4:5. Because it tells us who one of the two prophets that are coming in Revelation chapter 11. The Revelation chapter 11 mentions two prophets. It doesn't name them, but tells us that there are two prophets coming. They're going to prophesy for 3.5 years and then be killed. Now, because of studying prophecy, we all know that one of them, without a doubt, is Elijah. And the second one is speculation. It's Moses, it's so-and-so, and so-and-so. But anyways, Malachi 4:5 tells us that it's Elijah. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. No doubt, the great and dreadful day of the Lord is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So there is no doubt that just before the Lord's coming, there's going to be Elijah. Now, when you look at that verse, prophetically speaking, we don't really go into verse 6 that much, but there's a colon there. And the second part of the verse says, and he shall turn, now look at this, the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now the context of this is immediately prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And there's going to be a heart problem. And when I look at this, I see a family breakdown. Because it doesn't simply say the heart of people, you know. And in fact, let me just back up a little. More about Elijah. When we look in the book of Revelation, for example, we could see the two prophets prophesying. And the people on earth are not very happy about it. And in fact, when they're slain in Jerusalem by the Antichrist, there's like a satanic Christmas all throughout the world. You could see that in Revelation chapter 11, they're giving gifts and they're partying, and it's like holiday time. And then the Lord raises them from the dead. But this is interesting because verse 6 tells us one of the ministers, in particular, one of the ministries of Elijah, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So what is, putting this all together, what do these scriptures tell us? There's going to be a huge family breakdown before the Lord's second coming. As it says here in Malachi, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That Joel also says, that's terminology right out of Joel also. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. So as we go on, I guess closer to the Lord's coming, this tendency for the families to disintegrate, it's going to be a worldwide problem. Right now, it's a big problem in the West with the breakdown of the family. And the ministry of Elijah, amazingly, is he wants to put the family unit back. Now, this is before the Lord's coming, even up to the, you know, the pre-second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord is concerned about the family unit. But what we're reading about is the days of, you know, the days of Noah. As the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So even though there is tremendous sin in the world, even though there is chaos and all sorts of family unit broken down through adultery and fornication and children out of wedlock and, you know, all sorts of stuff, the rule of the Antichrist and all, God still, through it all, he wants the family unit put back together, folks. Amazing. You know, you think, and we got to put this in real perspective as we look at it. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So apparently, the ministry of Elijah is going to be successful. Of course, it can't be 100% successful, but it's going to be successful. And the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So even though the Lord's second coming is on the way, in fact, when you put it in context, the Lord's second coming is very close. It's still God's desire for the family unit being put back together right up during the tribulation period and all that. This is the heart's desire of the Lord. And I believe now in this ministry here that the Lord's given us, if we focus on this, on Malachi 4, 5 and 6 there, in prayer, that it's like an Elijah ministry. It's prophetic. You know, we mightn't think it's prophetic. And it's funny, what I'm teaching now, sharing now, I did a while back and kind of forgot it. And I've been thinking about it since this. I read that article about the tremendous fear. It's revitalized this in me. And we are 100% lined up with Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, with this ministry. And when we pray, we can pray. You know, Lord, send a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit that amongst your believers, so the hearts of the fathers will be turned to their children and the children to their fathers to restore the family unit. And, you know, and of course, we want a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to do it. And then as the family unit, as the believers are healed like that, then we can go out and impact the world. Then we can go out and get the prayers answered for everything we've been praying for. So I'd like everybody to keep this in mind. Let me read it again. Malachi chapter 4, starting at verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And it doesn't end there, folks. I would say very high percentage, almost 100%, of prophecy preachers and teachers end right there. Right there. And they jump right over to Revelation, chapter 11, because that's where it teaches about two prophets coming before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And because of Malachi, we know one is Elijah. The other is up to speculation. It ends right there. I've read all sorts of books on Bible prophecy. I've been in Bible prophecy conferences. That was a good part of my ministry. Many times I heard the connection with Malachi 4:5 over to Revelation chapter 11, but never verse 6. Maybe once. But other than that, it's left off, verse 6. But look at God's desire. He's sending Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amazing, folks. Amazing. God's desire right up to the great and dreadful day of the Lord is to restore children to their families. And it's so strong at the end, he said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So you know what I think when I read that, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, we know that there will be believers alive at the second coming of the Lord. Now, not the church, because we're in heaven with the Lord at this point. But there will be Jews and Gentiles, and that they are going to go into the millennial reign. Those are the ones that are going to populate the millennial reign of the Lord. And apparently, if this isn't done right, now, Elijah's definitely going to come and do this. But if the people don't respond to what he's saying, and even though they're believers, at least I come and smite the earth at a curse. This is the second coming of the Lord. The Lord's saying that if you don't listen to Malachi, when I come, you're going to get a curse on you. That's how strong this is with the Lord. The family unit is absolutely critical to the Lord. The family unit was created before the fall of man. Well, you can see it right in Genesis 1 and 2. Especially Genesis 2. And then you get into Genesis 3, the fall of man, but the family unit was there already. That's strong. That's strong, folks. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I mean, God can't make it any plainer, any clearer, any stronger. I'll say it once more, and then we'll move on. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I believe now, based on the way the Lord's been leading me this week and tonight, kind of teaching, preaching on this, in my mind, the direction of the ministry of healing the broken heart, it's changed to be prophetic. The ministry is going to fit right in here in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Of course, Elijah hasn't come yet, but the same thing. The goal of this ministry is to be used of the Lord to turn for the healing of the hearts, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the Lord. Now, that means forgiveness. It means healing of broken hearts, hearts full of fear and unbelief, hearts full of rejection. Forgiveness is the big thing. So I can just see it in my mind now as I'm sharing and speaking on this. this is what we're doing is prophetic, falling under Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I like it. I like it. It gives, it's a whole new dynamic, a whole new, like, Bible says there's no vision that people perish. So this is a vision now. Lord, we're lined up with your prophetic plan heading towards the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, of course, we're looking for the rapture. The great and dreadful day of the Lord follows that. But there we go. We're in the end times, the latter days. We see all that prophetic unfolding before us. And we're doing what Elijah's ministry will be. We're trying to turn, heal families. Part of my ministry when I pray with people, I've done this from the beginning of the Healing the Heart ministry. When I deal with someone, I'm very interested if they have children in the state of the children. In other words, is the, I pray, it's mostly women, but, you know, we pray with men also. But speaking, we'll speak like ministering to a woman, a mother. And, you know, we find out many times there's alienation with the from the children. And I'll say that, look, we want the Lord to use you to bring healing to the family. Like, your heart is healed. Now, the Lord's moving to heal your heart, and you're an overcomer. You live above this. No matter what is coming against you, you're an overcomer. God's love overcomes hatred against you. And God's peace overcomes confusion and strife. And God's joy overcomes depression. And God's power keeps you strong in face of, the power of the Holy Spirit keeps you strong in face of family problems and all. And then I offer to send the people my brochures free, however many they can use, 6, 8, whatever. If they tell me 20, I'll send them 20. With the purpose of whoever we just ministered to, the heal their heart, to reach out now and reach the children. Maybe just give the children the brochure, see if they'll read it, talk to them, begin the process. See, that is like the Elijah ministry in the end times, putting the families back together. It's not just enough for the person who we minister to, and Rue prays with me regularly. Anytime I'm praying with a female, Rue is there. And so it's not just that person we focus on, but we focus on, like, the husband, see, and then the children, grandchildren. That's God's heart, folks. That's God's heart to not only, like, heal the hearts of a person, but heal the hearts of families. That is the heart of God. You could see it right here in the Malachi 4 Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And just stop to think of it. God is about to, it's the second coming of the Lord. And we know all the judgments falling on the earth. You know, incredible things happening. Pestilence. Earthquakes. Volcanoes. The earth is reeling back and forth. There has to be tsunamis. Hailstones falling from the sky, all of this, the Antichrist, and then we see Elijah coming, and he's going to be warning. Elijah's going to be prophesying, because they're going to hate him, folks. We know from Revelation chapter 11, they're going to hate him for what he's prophesying about the Lord's coming and judgment and all. And in spite of all of this explosion of things that's happening, it says about Elijah, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It's through all of that, you could see the heart of God, folks. You could see it. It's like he's got this anointing on Elijah And he says, go out and prophesy, Elijah, and I want you to warn. And some are going to listen, most won't, but I want you to warn and all this and that. And, oh, and by the way, Elijah, you're anointed to do this. You're anointed to heal the hearts of the fathers so they can be restored to the children, and to heal the hearts of the children so they can be restored by the fathers. And you better do that, Elijah. Yeah, you got to prophesy it, but you make sure your ministry is healing broken hearts. Amazing. Amazing, folks, when you see how important things, what is really important to God? Well, saving souls, no doubt about it. I mean, that Jesus Christ, what did the Bible say? The disciples didn't understand. They wanted to throw down, they wanted to bring lightning down from heaven. And what did Jesus say to them? You don't understand. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. You know, the disciples are looking at like, okay, call fire down. Get them, Lord. Bring the lightning bolts down. And Jesus said, you don't understand. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, and right here, so Jesus Christ, this is like the Lord's ministry in Luke 4:18. You could see he came to seek and to save that which is lost, preaching the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And what can we say about Elijah? God sent him to heal the brokenhearted. Right there, Malachi 4:6. The ministry doesn't change right up to the end, right up until the great and dreadful day of the Lord. God is in the healing of the heart business right up until the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I want to just, because I've made much reference here to Revelation chapter 11. And I just want to read it in case you're not familiar with it. Because you'll understand then. The beginning of it's talking about measuring the temple on Mount Sinai that will be rebuilt. And then it says in verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now that means 3.5 years. And clothed in sackcloth, that's an Old Testament expression to be, they're going to be humble. When people were repenting, back in the Old Testament, they would wear sackcloth. It's like a bag, like the big potato bags we have, the sackcloth. That's, you're just awful, humble-like. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, they must in this manner be killed. This reminds me, as I'm reading this, of Obadiah 1:15. Very similar. The day of the Lord is near upon all heathen. See, and the day of the Lord is near here, as they're prophesying in the first half of the 70th week of Daniel. The last 7 years is called the 70th week of Daniel. And they're going to prophesy for 3.5 years. So they're going around, I imagine the world, warning. Prophesying, they're warning about the prophecy about Christ coming. And Obadiah 1:15 says, the day of the Lord is near upon all heathen. As thou hast done to Israel, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall be upon thine own head. So here, it's really the same idea. If they try and hurt these two prophets of the Lord, exactly what they try and do to these two prophets is going to come upon these people. Which Obadiah says, if you do whatever you do to Israel, it's going to come upon you. They have power to shut heaven, okay, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. They have a tremendous authority from the Lord. And, of course, they can be droughts. which goes back to what happened with Elijah, and powers over waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And that is what really Moses did. When you read in Exodus, Moses turned the Nile into blood and the plagues that were brought upon the earth. That's why people believe that the second witness, or the second prophet here, is Moses. I tend to believe it. There, others have other theories, but it doesn't say so. It's not. I'm not arguing. I'm just kind of explaining where the idea that the second prophet is Moses, and also on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord was talking, who appeared to him. Well, in fact, he was talking about what was coming. Elijah appeared with him and Moses appeared with him. And that's reported in Mark 16, there, Matthew 16. So that's the feeling. Malachi's for sure. I believe the second is Moses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, now it's 3.5 years, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, that is the Antichrist, the man of sin, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them, and shall make merry, and shall send gifts one another, because these two prophets, see now they're identified as prophets here, they're called witnesses and then prophets, tormented them that dwell on the earth. And then after 3 days, after three days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So I just wanted you to see this in relation to all that's going on here. You know, I mean, let me just go back and read this to you. First of all, the resurrection from the dead. But verse 6, and they have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. However, remember Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Elijah, you have all this power, but your ministry is for the healing of the broken hearts to restore families. That's the heart of God, folks. That's his heart. That's from the very beginning. From in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth right there on the sixth day when he created man. You know, when we look in chapter 2 especially, the family unit right there, right in the beginning, a man, a woman, married with children, and then right up to the second coming of the Lord to restore that plan of God and have the families restored with a healed heart. We talks about the healed heart of the fathers. You know, that also means the mothers there and the children, you know, everything restored. So I kind of feel tonight is a big night for me in the viewing as the ministry to fall under everything we've been praying for. We've been praying for years for outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then I don't know how long on Saturday night now. I don't know. Time is a blur to me. I don't know if it's a year, 2 years. I know it's more than a half a year. We've been praying. But this is prophetic. The praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I want it to also fall under Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. That with that clear, our clear, the Bible, there is no vision, the people perish. Our clear vision now is, Lord, send a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to heal the hearts of your people, to restore the families, restore the fathers, the families to the fathers to the children to the fathers, so there can be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because without the hearts of God's people healed, the foundation isn't there, folks. It's not there. So many of God's people are busted up now and full of fear. So many of them. The foundation must be restored. The inner foundation, the infilling of the Holy Spirit must be restored. That foundation is needed. And then there could be a mighty move, winning the lost, and then dealing with the holding back of the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want to show you this concept here. Let me get PowerPoint up. And I want to show you this about fear and what God had to do first. Okay, here we go. So on the day of Pentecost, it involves Peter, because Peter is really the subject of Acts chapter 2. I don't remember any of the other disciples being mentioned, only Peter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is important, the word filled, because prior to this, it was called the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being endued with power from on high, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. It's all like an external anointing on the believers. At least that's the picture it gives, like being baptized. Being baptized doesn't give a picture, really, of anything happening internal. It's more like external. Endured means clothed. But here we see filled in verse 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And then there's the big connection. Filled. They were, and they all had like received a outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Exactly what Acts 4:31 showing is what happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost. Now, let's look at the day of Pentecost and Peter speaking, and it's Acts 2, chapter verses 16 through 21. So that's five verses, and there are no periods in these scriptures. It's all, well, joining them together is semicolons. I mean, there's colons, commas, but the semicolon is joins concepts, complete thoughts together. So it's all held together by semicolons. And let's read this. And this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, semicolon. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. There it is. I will pour out my spirit. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us also is an infilling upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. Semicolon. Everything I just read was one thought. Pour out in those days of my spirit. So Peter is relating what happened on the day of Pentecost to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, it says here in verse 17, and it should come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, semicolon. Now, this is all getting into latter-day talk, signs in the heavens, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Still one thought, folks, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. So what began at Pentecost is going to continue all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You can't mistake it. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. In Joel, which Peter was quoting, Peter was quoting Joel chapter 2. In Joel, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. That's the same language that Malachi uses about the coming of Elijah. So the great and notable day of the Lord come. So the Lord, right up to the the great and terrible day, or the great and notable day, he wants heart's healed, folks. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we know from Elijah, the prophecy about Elijah, that right up to the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God wants hearts healed. There is no time since the Lord, well, if you want his ministry in Luke 4:18, that's what records the Lord's ministry, and the fullness of it is in the King James. He has sent me to heal a brokenhearted. So going along with salvation, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, God wants hearts healed, folks. It's not a secondary thought of him. It's really on the level of salvation, and I can show you that in Luke 4:18. Now, of course, salvation has to come first. We have to be forgiven of sin. We have to come under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be reconciled by his death on the cross. We have to have assurance of eternal life. That's all part of salvation. And then he has sent me to heal a broken heart. It's not an afterthought, folks. It's very important to God. Very. So that's the new focus of the ministry now. We're going to come under Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And just do it, because that's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing. That's what we've been doing in the ministry. We're seeing great work in this in Africa. Let me see. Pastor Zephaniah is here. He's in YouTube. And he's been talking to the people in YouTube. Now, just last week with Pastor Zephaniah, I preached with him in Uganda, right on the border with South Sudan, and it's an area with a tremendous amount of Muslims there. And Zephaniah, just before the show, I was looking at this in Skype. He sent me pictures, and I'm going to go to them right here. And I don't know how many. He showed me pictures of Muslims being baptized from the preaching that we had there last week, and there was problems. I couldn't preach all three days. There was connection problems, but there's pictures of people being baptized in a little pond, and then at the end he shows you the amount of people, and you know, it's a good amount of people there. These are Muslims that have come to Christ as their Savior from preaching there. This is exciting, folks. Oh, there it is. I'd say there's like 20 or 30 people in line there to be baptized. These are all Muslims, folks. And the last time we were there, there was a huge number. This is very significant. 20 Muslims was wonderful. This is like what I see is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to see Muslims like this. They're coming from all over, folks, coming to the Lord. are from the Sudan, from Uganda, from Kenya, from Tanzania, from Rwanda, from the Congo, working with Pastor Abel in Nigeria, then in Africa, in Pakistan, Pastor Jay, and then also in India. And we're seeing into the thousands of Buddhists in Sri Lanka coming to the Lord. I didn't even know there was a church in Sri Lanka. But this is the message. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I believe as time goes on, folks, as time goes on and we're getting closer to the coming of the day of the Lord, this ministry, and I'm not talking about myself in particular, the ministry of healing the broken hearts is going to become more prominent. Like I just told you, I saw Franklin Graham. I was very pleased to see it. I had never seen that before, and I don't know if he does that all the time. I don't know. And then his sister, Anne, there she had a little teaching or a little bit, and she had Luke 4:18 in it. I think as we go on now, closer to the Lord coming, we're going to see a God restoring the full ministry of Jesus Christ, which has been altered. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted has been like removed or ignored. We're going to see it come back in focus, folks. We're going to see it. I want to show you a little bit more about, because we've been dealing with fear here and dealing with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So just hang on here. Okay, now with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is mass revival. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 folks on the day of Pentecost. No microphones or any way to amplify the voice, unless it was done supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So with a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit, mass revival goes with it. Mass revival goes with it. And, okay, I'm going to do a powerless Peter, and then I think I'm going to show you what happened in Kenya a short time ago with the Muslims. All right, now remember on Pentecost, Peter preached and thousands came to the Lord, and he was bold. So, and then we see just before the Lord's when the Lord was arrested, Peter ran with the other disciples, and he came back to follow what was happening. And in Matthew 26:69, it says a damsel, which is a young girl, maybe, 14, 15, and around there, 16. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all. So apparently there was a group of people there, but this young girl spoke to him, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out in the porch, okay, so he moves to another location, another maid, an older woman, saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So here, roughly 50 days before Peter just won 3,000 to the Lord, he was full of denial. He was denying the Lord. A young damsel challenged him, and he denied the Lord. And with an oath, strong language, you know. Now, remember what Peter witnessed. Peter was with the Lord 3.5 years. Now, Scripture records what I'm about to say, but the Bible tells us that Jesus did way more than what was recorded in the Bible. What was recorded in the Bible was written so that we might believe. You know, it wasn't a full inventory of everything he did. So Peter witnessed people raised from the dead. He witnessed Lazarus. And the Lord was on the way to Jerusalem when he raised Lazarus. So Lazarus was probably raised from the dead maybe a week before the Lord was crucified. Maybe a little more. Peter watched people blind from birth, blind Bartimaeus. Peter was there when the Lord healed blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho. The lepers immediately cleansed. You remember the story about the 10 lepers? They were all immediately cleansed. Peter saw this. The cripple and the maimed were healed. The Lord had, some man had a withered hand, and the Lord said, put forth your hand. And the man put forth his hand, and it was healed. People freed from demons. The man from Gadara that ran through the graves there up in along the Sea of Galilee, and he was full of demons. And the Lord spoke to him, and he was cutting himself. No one could chain him. He was so wild. Peter was there when the man was completely freed of the demons. He fed multitudes on the Mount of Beatitudes. Peter saw that. He was there. Violent storm stopped. Peter was there in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. They thought they were going to drown. The boat was going to, you know, capsize. And the Lord stood up and said, peace, be still. And immediately, the storm was controlled and it was calm on the lake. Peter saw the Lord walked on water. And Peter tried it himself. And he witnessed the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was there on the Mount of I had mentioned the Mount of Transfiguration earlier. When Moses and Elijah had appeared with the Lord. When the Lord was manifesting his glory, Elijah and Moses was there with him. And you could see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Peter used this as the outstanding example of what he saw. Everything paled in comparing to what he saw when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I might as well read it. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You see, eyewitnesses. It was eyewitness of many things. But he's talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord was there. Peter, he was there. So it wasn't like Peter was saying, I see him coming in the future. What it was when the Lord manifested his glory, that's when he talked about the coming of the Lord. That's how the Lord's going to return in great glory. That's what Peter was referring to. We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about really the second coming of the Lord in great glory and power. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him, meaning Christ, from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter saw all of that, folks, participated in it. But when it came to standing with the Lord at Gethsemane and standing with the Lord when he was on the cross, he couldn't do it. He ran. And why? Because he was full of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Peter was full of fear. And that fear had, even though he walked with the Lord, that fear had not been dealt with yet. And notice, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a spirit of fear robs us of power, limits our love, and gives us an unsound mind. Fear is a powerful force. So something happened to Peter so he could stand up and speak, and 3,000 come to the Lord. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when God infilled Peter and the disciples, and there was 120, what happened was that fear in his heart was burnt right out. The Holy Spirit a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of that was removed. So now he had the platform for God, the anointing, to go forward and win all those souls. He couldn't have done it if he was full of fear, folks, because you just saw what happened 50 days before. And all the external things that Peter saw could not overcome the spirit of fear, even though he heard the voice of the Father from heaven and he saw Jesus manifesting his glory. The spirit of fear was greater. And the Holy Spirit had to come and destroy that in him, destroy the stronghold in his mind, destroy it from his heart, heal his heart of fear. And then he spoke the word of God with boldness. And that's the same with all of us, folks. That fear and unbelief has to be dealt with like it was dealt with Peter. And that's all part of that anointing, that coming on us, of being bold, speaking about the Lord and proclaiming his word when fear is dealt with. I want to show you what happened with Pastor Zephaniah and myself in, it was in Kenya. It was called Kenyania, the name of the location. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, but let me, as I'm talking to you, I'm locating it because I want you to see it. Okay, here it is. Now, this just took place the end of August, August 30th to September 1st. Kenenya. I was there with Pastor Zephaniah. And there's below Pastor Zephaniah on your right there is his wife Gladys, who has a tremendous music ministry. She wrote a series of songs about healing the broken heart. And these are other pastors that work with Pastor Zephaniah. I believe Pastor Daniel there was the translator, and there's a great anointing on him. And we're praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it did happen, folks. I'll just show you the location of it. Here's Kenya. And the red down at sort of the bottom there is Nairobi. And if you go to the left, you'll see Kismu, Kismu, right in that area. That's where we were. That's where we were, the general location. There's me preaching on Skype. Now, what Pastor Zephaniah did was many more people were coming that could get in the church. So they had big speakers. And the church was like kind of on a main road. It's a heavily Muslim area. And he put the speakers outside so people could hear it. They're big speakers. In fact, you'll be able to see the size of them. Here's people coming to the Lord. From inside the church, and the majority of them are Muslims. Now, this is what the area looks like, and that this is not the church. But if you look to the right, there's a building, and that's how the church was to the main road. So they put the speakers outside, but this is generally what it looks like in the area. Now you can see the speakers to the right of the door, and these were some of the people that were listening, and there's other speakers on the sides of the church. So there was a much bigger crowd, but you could see the speakers. And again, the majority of these are Muslims that are listening. And he put a banner up There's the banner right by the door. You can see it. Again, these are Muslims that are listening. Now, here's Pastor Zephaniah, and these are Muslim women that have come to the Lord, and they're all dancing because they're so excited. Now, this is a picture of some of the Muslims that came to the Lord. And what happened was I would preach and there'd be a move of the Holy Spirit, and the people on the outside and the inside, they would come to the Lord. And Pastor Zephaniah said there was a significant manifestation of people, demon possessed. And they were ministering to them and freeing them with demons. There were all sorts of people on the ground that the Lord, these are Muslims now, the Lord was healing their broken hearts. There were physical healings. And the Muslims would get healed. Their hearts would get healed. They would get physical healing, whatever. They would run home and come back and bring like their husband, their wife, their mother, father, children, brothers, aunts, uncles. And this went on to early in the morning, like 1 a.m, where they just kept on ministering and ministering to Muslims that were coming to for salvation and having their hearts healed. And the message was Luke 4:18. That's what I preached, Luke 4:18. And part of that is he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I look at this as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, folks. God doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care your race. This is in Africa, and these people, Pastor Zephaniah and the people he's working with, they have great faith. We've been praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when you see something like this, folks, I see it. I see this as an outpouring. When you see people so healed, so delivered, Muslims, they run home and grab their wife and bring her to get to hear the message. And Zephaniah and his team would pray over them and lead Muslim after Muslim after Muslim to the Lord, have their hearts healed. This is what we want on a huge scale, folks. A huge scale. All over. That's the vision we need. An outpouring like this, and God making a huge harvest of souls. So, I'm ready to pray now. If you want to pray, please call. I'll give you the number here. You're free to call in to pray. 717-409-5553. I just ask that the prayer be focused on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit now. Okay, again, 717-409-5553. You're all welcome to come and pray. Like I said, just asking that the focus is on the healing of the broken heart. Oh, I see Anna's here. Yeah, Anna, I was concerned after praying for you. I see you're here. I'm okay. Okay. All right. I guess you're going to lay down now. All right, Anna. Everybody, please keep Anna in prayer. She has, we prayed for her the other night. She had like a pain in her stomach, and I think there was a swelling there, and it was very hot, which of course could be, a major infection. She was in tremendous amount of pain. We prayed for her. She says, all right, she went there, they gave her medicine, it was probably antibiotics, and they said, I may need surgery. So, we're going to pray for you, Anna, and I want to keep Patrick praying for you. We have Brother Greg here. Hello, Brother Greg. Hello.
Hello, John. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise
great,
the Lord.
Great teaching on that. End of Malachi there. I liked it.
Well, you're a man that follows Bible prophecy. How much teaching have you ever heard on Malachi 4:6? And don't tell me lots. If you're going to tell me I've heard 100 times, don't say it, all right?
First time I ever heard it was tonight.
Oh, okay. Now you make me feel good. Greg, Brother Greg, doesn't all the prophecy preachers and teachers stop at verse 5?
Well, I'm not into all that following, you know, what they're all saying, like you are, you know.
So well, I'm not anymore, really, but I'm talking about years back. You know, I mean, that was any time you heard teaching on Revelation 11, they would bring in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, and that's all you would hear. You wouldn't hear anything about verse 6 at all, never.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they're about reconciling the families and all that. It fits right in with the brokenhearted. It's really a good thing.
Yeah, and even though God's judgment is like being famines are coming and all these judgments as we head into the literal second coming of the Lord, he still, in the midst of all this, wants the families put back together. And he says the key is the problem is the hearts.
Amen.
So anything else, Brother Greg, and then you could lead us in prayer?
Well, I just passed out a few brochures today. Brokenhearted 666, going about my doing a little shopping.
Okay.
And people are glad to get them. And just chipping away at it. And you know, the word does not come back void.
Exactly.
And this tonight was very good, so we're going to, you know, we'll reap something off of this, I'm sure.
Well, what about the, as I was sharing, the refocus of the ministry as prophetic now?
Yeah, that was a nice twist. Isn't that something?
I mean, because isn't that what we're doing, Greg, already?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I mean, we're falling under, like, Malachi 4:6.
Well, another thing is, well, the New King James has got major flaws in it, but it kept Luke 4:18. But I don't know of another modern Bible version that even has Luke 4:18 in it.
Well, they all have Luke 4:18, but they've removed, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted."
Yeah, that's because I've only read, yeah, that's what I'm...
So I don't know of another, other than the New King James, I do not know another translation. The reason for that, all the modern translations are not from the Greek manuscript, which we commonly call the Textus Receptus. They have a new manuscript that was really put together in the 1880s. And Nestle Rand, they call it now, and it's off different manuscripts. They've purposely have gotten the worst manuscripts and put them together to translate a Bible that has these vast differences than the Textus Receptus. But anyways, God has preserved His Word. His Word has been preserved. We have it, and. I'm excited, Greg. I like this. To me, it gives real direction to the ministry. So like when Pastor Zephaniah, for example, is preaching in Kenya, wherever in Africa, I want him to understand that it's this is a prophetic, like, end-time ministry. Because we're doing exactly what Malachi 4:6 says will be done in the end times. Of course, when Elijah comes.
When the imam got saved and just cried out to the Lord and went down, and or was that a different one?
No, that's a different one. That was in Tanzania. That was in Tanzania, and it was a heavily Muslim area, and it was real hot. And the Muslims wouldn't go in the church, so they put the speakers outside. And, in fact, the speakers were in a big tree. And one of them, anyways, was in this. They climbed up the tree and put the speakers. And I couldn't see. Everybody disappeared, Greg. There was no one I could really see. There were some houses. They were in the houses, and they went into the shade where the trees were, underneath the trees. So it looked like I was just preaching to an empty field. Because I could see, you know, from the Skype, I could see. And then at the end, I gave a call to receive the Lord, to receive salvation in Christ. and you have your heart healed. And then if you believe in the Lord, but you need your heart healed, come forward, physical healing. And this imam, he was a local imam. He was sitting in a car. I don't know how far, Greg. I couldn't tell you if it was, you know, something like 50 yards away, 75 yards. The speakers were carryaways. So he and Pastor Zephaniah told me that the eyewitnesses watched him get out of the car and come running when I gave a call to receive the Lord. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, save me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. He was running all the ways up to the front. Have mercy on me. Save me. Save me. You know, have mercy, Jesus, mercy. And the next day he got baptized. They sent, Zephaniah sent me pictures of him baptized.
And the other one is preaching with Pastor Zephaniah now. I saw him on one of the bulletins. So.
Oh, that's
Patrick.
Yeah. Patrick, yeah. Patrick was a specially trained Muslim imam that they sent to thwart Pastor Zephaniah because of his effectiveness in preaching. And he was supposed to set up a mosque real close to Zephaniah's church, but he got a hold of the brokenhearted brochure. He had sent me to heal a bro, and he read it, and it brought him under tremendous conviction. And he came to church that next Sunday, and Zephaniah was preaching, and he came to the Lord. He confessed Christ, and immediately he left Islam, and he became an evangelist. And then the Muslims were hunting for him. They were trying to, I guess, kill him. And then they tried to kidnap his children.
Yeah, and once he read it, he couldn't sleep for a couple
right,
of days.
Right, right, right.
Isn't that something? Wow.
Well, that's the power of God. You're talking about a specially trained imam, and he came up to. He came up to, you know, about the Lord dying on the cross for our sin, and to heal our broken heart. He got like the full message of Luke 4:18.
Wow.
So, Brother Greg, if you would lead us in prayer, please, for outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for all these testimonies. So you said by a word of your testimony, and we thank you, Lord, for each and every soul that's been won. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you for the fact that you prophesied of this few thousand years ago, and that you would send Elijah, your prophet, before this great and notable day of the Lord, and also that John the Baptist even had the spirit of Elijah upon him. But this is a different one right in the last days, and we thank you, Lord, that you will have, right up till the end, you'll have your preachers out, and they will be preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders right at the very end, when the mark of the beast and all these different things are coming in. You will have your people right there, and you are all powerful. You are all glorious. You're from everlasting to everlasting. There is none like unto you, Lord. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father, the great I Am. Lord, you know the hearts of each person on the earth, and we ask that you minister to each person, that you would use us to go out and preach. You said, how will they know unless the preacher is sent? And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to preach your word in these last days, that we can walk with you, Lord, in paradise, that we will be raptured off the face of the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll be right behind at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you for all of your word, the comfort in your word, the power in your word, We thank you that you will be healing the families through this end, chapter, through the end of Malachi there, Lord, that the verse 6, that you will be healing the fathers to restore to the children to the fathers. Lord, we thank you. Each move that you make is beyond our greatest expectations. It brings great joy to us to see these things happening. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for all the Muslims that are being saved. You're not willing that any soul will be perished, but that you'd like everybody to have everlasting life. And throughout the years, we've been preaching to many, many, many people, and we know that anybody can get saved. We've seen Jews come to the Lord. We've seen reprobates come to the Lord all throughout the world, Lord. And when it comes down to it, the winning of souls is what you came for, Lord. And if we thank you for that, all the prophets, all the testimonies, all the signs and wonders, that you're giving us another chapter in the book of Acts right now, and we're privileged to be able to see this, and we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks for everything that you're doing, Lord. And we ask that you would give us a great mighty revival, not only in Africa, but even in our country. We were founded on the gospel, and we ask that we would return to the roots, that we would put away all the national sins. We repent of the sins of sodomy, witchcraft, baby killing, all the abortion, and all the wickedness. We repent for the laws that were passed by our courts that uphold this, Lord. We repent for allowing people to stray from the Constitution and the judgment of law. Lord, we ask that this would return to our land, and that we would have a Holy Ghost revival, and that we would change things here in a powerful way, Lord. Just like in the 70s, early 70s, when we saw the revival in California and the streets there, Lord, with the hippies, just like we've seen it in the many other revivals, the revivals prior to this, right around the turn of the right beginning of the 19th century. We thank you, Lord, for every single move that you've made, Lord. The Fulton Street Revival, all of them, Lord. They're just wonderful testimonies. One, we love hearing the history of it. We love hearing all these things, Lord. We thank you for this ministry. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. And we ask that many, many, many people would come to you, Lord, and through this ministry. And we also ask that all those that are listening, if they feel that they would like to come, call in at the number in the Uber conference and pray, that they would feel free to do so. And we're looking forward to that. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please call in 717-409-5553. All the prayer is important. There is no test here. I don't want anybody to think, I can't pray good publicly. And all. No one's going to grade you on this. It's just important that we all pray in one accord. And it encourages, when you pray like that publicly, it encourages everybody. So please, area code 717, that's my conference room where I am now. All I ask is your first name. 717-409-5553. We're focusing on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is for the healing of the hearts and then the land. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for everybody that's here, Lord, and is participating in this prayer time. Lord, we understand from Malachi that the importance it is for families to be restored, hearts to be healed, Lord. That's what we believe, Lord. It's right out of your word. Lord, that's what you've been doing in this ministry about healing the broken hearts and restoring families, Lord. It's like a Malachi 4:6. We're doing what Malachi 4:6 says. Thank you, Lord. May this expand way beyond us, Lord. and that there be, because it's your desire, Lord. It is your desire to have the hearts healed and families restored. So we are asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to go through your church, your believers, Lord, and heal those broken hearts, Lord. The divorce rate is huge in the church, Lord. Your people are afraid, Lord. Their hearts are full of fear, unbelief, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Send a mighty wind of the Holy Spirit through us, Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what we need, Lord. To be filled and to have that burnt out, the unbelief burnt out. Lord, the rejection. Rejection is powerful, Lord. The fear of being shamed. Shame in our heart is powerful, Lord. Being ostracized, being lonely is powerful, Lord. The fear, burn it out of our hearts, Lord. Burn it out of your people's hearts so that we can be bold witnesses for you, Lord. Fearless, like Peter was on the day of Pentecost. Lord, send it, Lord. We have to have it. There's no option, Lord. There's no option. Your people are wounded inside. They're broken inside, Lord. They can't be witnesses for you until, well, the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, if we're full of fear, we're robbed of power. If we're full of fear, we're limiting your love. If we're full of fear, fear is ruling our mind, not the Holy Spirit, which gives us a sound mind. Lord, send mighty hope outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Mighty, Lord. We can't pray for an outpouring in the country without first your church being revived. And I'm sure it's the same in Canada, Lord, in New Zealand, in Australia. Lord, I have such a hard time praying for Europe, Lord. It's so hard, Lord. But we got to. And Lord, we pray for the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Europe, Lord, and in Africa, and in Pakistan and India, Lord. We're praying that millions and millions will be swept up into the kingdom, Lord, to be with you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing how what is so important to you, Lord, there, even right up until the day of the Lord, healing the brokenhearted and putting families back together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this. And then, Lord, on top of this, send a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to win the lost here, Lord. To win the lost. Lord, we repent of all the sin, Lord. Oh, my, Lord, we'd be here for hours repenting. But in general, Lord, the nonstop killing of the babies, Lord, we repent of it. Lord, the homosexual agenda, mocking marriage. They mock us now. It came from like nowhere, Lord. All of a sudden, you know, marriage between a man and a woman. And now, in a matter of what the Supreme Court did with that ungodly decision, the Supreme Court of Sin, now you're a bigot if you believe in marriage between a man and a woman only. Lord, we're on the road to Sodom and Gomorrah without you, Lord, without you interceding. Without you sending a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we are on the road to Sodom and Gomorrah, way down the road, Lord. We need an outpouring, Lord. Lord, we repent of the Supreme Court decision to kill the babies, Lord. We repent, Lord, of the Supreme Court decision to mock marriage. We repent, Lord, of the Supreme Court throwing you out of society, Lord. 1963, the Supreme Court said, we don't want you. And the church didn't give a whimper. Separation of church and state. Well, there is no separation of church and state, because either we're being blessed by the Lord or cursed by the devil. So this country chose the devil, and here it is now, all these 50 years later. Lord, we're asking forgiveness, Lord. The witchcraft that's in the country. Lord, we're humbled that the Muslims are in here. Their judgment from you. Their judgment, their pure judgment, Lord, Islam. Lord, we need revival for survival. A dual revival, Lord, your people, and at the same time, Lord, to push back the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, we thank you for giving us a breather with President Trump. I believe that you've got more for him to do, Lord. The world has tried everything, and they can't dislodge him. They tried everything, Lord, everything. He's protected of you. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, we believe, Lord, that high places of government, we know for sure Hollywood, high places of government, probably high places of business, Wall Street, Lord, loaded with pedophile rings, Lord. There's something about power and pedophilia, Lord. There's something about it. We see it in the Catholic Church, all the way up to the Pope, Lord. He knew what was going on and did nothing. He only when he was forced to act, because it was so out in the open, and he still, I don't know, really hasn't done nothing. Lord, it's there's layers of this. We're asking that the whole thing be uncovered, Lord, and that these pedophiles, Lord, be exposed, be arrested, be tried, and Lord, if they are guilty, go to jail. Go to jail. Break the back of these rings, Lord. Break the back. And Lord, we're asking for the healing, the spiritual healing of these youngsters that have been abused like this, Lord. We're asking, Lord, for your mercy on them. You'd send they need their hearts healed, Lord, is what they need. So that's what we're asking for, Lord. To break the back. And Lord, break the back of what we call the swamp, the D.C., the deep state, loaded with corruption, Lord. The satan, we know it's satanic. Lord, we know Podesta and Hillary and them are involved with that spirit cooking, Lord, from Alex the Crowley. The pure devil worship. Found that out from WikiLeaks, Lord. Lord, clean it out, Lord. We're still here. You haven't raptured us, Lord. We're still here. We have tremendous authority in the name of Jesus. And that's what we're asking for, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that you bust this up, that you smash it, Lord, right up to the rapture of the church. Then the devil's crowd can have it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're asking for your continued anointing on the president. That we thank you how he's done everything he could to bless Israel, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that he's done things to bless us here, the church. Lord, just protect him. Protect him from all these attacks that come on him. And lead him, Lord, to bust up the deep state, Lord, the swamp, to drain it, Lord, to put these criminals in jail. Only for what they deserve. We're not asking. This isn't vengeance, Lord. This is just justice. And most of them, Lord, mock you. They're the ones that are behind killing the babies and the homosexual agenda, bringing in the Muslims, Lord. Lord, send a mighty thank you for what you've done politically, Lord. And take it to another level now. Put them in jail, Lord. Put them in jail. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for everybody. Lord, I ask for an outpouring, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an infilling of the Holy Spirit in everybody that's involved in this ministry, Lord. Everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you, Lord, for what you've done. All the Abba Father International Fellowship pastors, Lord, bless them all, Lord. Protect them. Lord, thank you for everything you're doing in India, everything you're doing in Pakistan, Africa, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, it's just, And Lord, thank you for opening our eyes prophetically, Lord. When we look at the number of people in the world, I don't know, 7 billion, and you can eliminate all the Muslims and all the Hindus and Buddhists and atheists, Lord, and all, it boils it down to a, you know, I don't know, billion or so, whatever. And then, Lord, you knock out all the nominal Christians and those that don't believe your word, those that don't believe in Bible prophecy as you laid it out. Lord, that's a very small number of people, very small number, percentage-wise. Amazing. And Lord, you have shown us the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord. Your prophetic word is there for everybody. And they could believe, Lord. They could believe. But Lord, it's such a few, small number. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're looking for the second coming of your son, Lord. Thank you. Thank you we understand the prophetic word about the nation of Israel, Lord. And everything tied in with it, Lord. All those scriptures tied in with it. Thank you. The coming of the day of the Lord. The rapture of the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just continue to teach us truth, Lord. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is freedom. Lies is bondage. So we want your truth, Lord. No lies, no man-made doctrines. Your truth, Lord. That's what we want from your word. We thank you now. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, hang on, Brother Greg. We have a caller here from California. Hello.
Hello, hello, Chaplain John. This is Martha. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Martha. Thank you. I'm really excited. Tonight's a good night.
Yeah, I'd like to pray, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Hold on before you pray.
Okay.
Anyone can call in 717-409-5553, 717-409-5553. I see Kurt is here. Kurt here got here. Hello, Kurt. I haven't seen you in a couple days. God bless you. But go ahead, Martha. You can pray.
Thank you, Chaplain John. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this prayer line, Father. We just want to lift up to you, Lord, just this nation, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just grant our leaders and judges in our courts, Lord, to give them that they would have the integrity to judge righteously, Father God. We pray for the children in this nation, Lord, that you would grant them the ability to be able to see the truth and not be blinded by what they're being taught in the schools, Father God. We pray, Lord, there's such a blindness here that you would open people's eyes to the truth of the gospel and our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we know that you are coming soon, Lord God, and whether it's a year or two or five or ten, Lord, we know that you are at the door, Father God. Help us, Lord, that the church in America would wake up, Lord, wake up to the truth of Jesus Christ and proclaim the gospel in the pulpit, Lord God. Father, so much of that has been lost to entertainment and trying to just cater, Lord, to the world, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they would get back to your word, Lord God, and that people would be focused on your word and on you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, in other countries where there's persecution of believers, Lord, I pray that you would comfort them, Father God, especially those in bonds, Lord. You tell us, Lord, not to forget those in bonds. So we pray that they would sense your presence, Lord, in that jail cell. We pray, Father, Lord, that they would forgive and love their persecutors, Lord, and give them an open door to proclaim the gospel to those people while they're in there, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they would know, Lord, that they are not forgotten, Lord God. The people in America, that remnant here in this nation, Lord, pray for them, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that they would remain joyful in the midst of suffering, Lord, and mature in their faith, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would get the gospel to those very dark places, Lord, like North Korea, Lord God, and Iran, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Africa through the many faithful servants that you have working there, Lord. So many from Chaplain John's ministry, Lord, and I know many others, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through this ministry, Lord. I pray, Lord, that these pamphlets, these Bibles, and everything that comes out of this ministry would be taken to the farthest and remotest part of the world, Lord God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give strength to Chaplain John and physical healing and good night's sleep at night, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that is just on YouTube and on Facebook, Lord. I thank you. I pray, Father, Lord. I know there are some that are suffering from physical ailments, Father God. I pray for healing for them and strength, Lord God. And Father, you are so good and merciful to us, Lord. We are in this nation, Lord. We have the comfort of every kind, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that you help us to use our time wisely, Lord, to not take for granted, Lord, that we have your word, that we would use it wisely, that we would memorize it, Lord, and that you would heal those broken hearts, Lord, that people would understand that there is healing in Christ Jesus, Lord God. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father. I pray that people would understand you, Lord. People would, eyes would be open, Lord. Please, Lord, open their eyes to the truth, Lord, of your word, Father God. I pray that there would be repentance and an outpouring of your spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, especially for the children, Lord. So much brainwashing going on in these schools and everywhere. Father, Lord, please, the television, Lord. So much darkness and evil, Lord. So much occult, teaching, Lord, out there, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, a lot of it is now coming from schools and teachers, Lord. I pray that you would please have mercy, Lord, and open the children's eyes, Lord, and protect them, Lord. Please protect them, Father God. So we thank you once again. We pray, Father, Lord, that you would have mercy on your remnant. There is a remnant in this nation, Lord, that loves you and is faithful to you. We're not perfect, Lord, but you know our hearts, Father God. I pray for your merciful hand over your remnant children, Lord, and we can't wait to see you, Lord, face to face, Lord. For now, help us to be strong and steadfast in proclaiming the gospel to those around us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Martha. And again, anybody that wants to pray, 717-409-5553. 717-409-5553. Brother Greg, anything you want to add or any more prayer?
Yeah, sure. Lord, we come before you. And we very humbly, we repent of the sins of the churches in our country, Lord. They've fallen away from your word. Most of the major denominations have fallen into the sin of letting sodomites be married inside their churches. They have sodomite preachers. They're not sticking to your word. They've fallen away from your word, Lord. We ask that this would be remedied. You would make a great and mighty move, that you would show the severity of the faults to these so-called pastors or whoever's enabling this type of thing, the reprobates, Lord, that you would show them your word, give them understanding that they will be cast into a burning lake of fire eventually if they don't repent, Lord. And we ask that you would make a move. Somehow, Lord, you know the hearts of all the people here in our country. You know each and every person in this country. You know everybody, and you know everything about them, Lord. We ask that you would somehow open up the windows of heaven and give us a great and mighty outpouring, Lord, exactly according to your will, that would reach the most of all these people, Lord, that have gotten into witchcraft and pedophilia, spirit cooking, Satan worship, all these things. If there's any hope for them, Lord, let them repent right now. If there isn't, Lord, we ask that you would turn to the other ones that will repent and give them a great and mighty outpouring of your spirit. All things are possible with you, Lord. There's nothing that you can't do. We ask in a great and mighty way, Lord, that this would spread on to all the European countries that have fallen so far away from you, Lord, that are into the same exact sins that our country is into. And we ask that there would be repentance for these sins nationally, publicly, whatever it takes, Lord, to pull the curses off of our countries that have fallen so far from you, Lord, in these last days. We know what your word says, Lord, but we're asking for mercy for the ones that are in the valley of decision, that you would open the windows of heaven on them, Lord. We ask that for mercy for the family members of everybody that's a part of this ministry and everybody that listens on the archives, that you would save all the family members or everybody that's with you, Lord. Just like in Acts 1, when the jailer says that wanted to kill himself, and then Paul told him, don't do this, but you will be saved and your house. So we thank you, Lord, for that, that this salvation promise extends to us that are serving you, Lord. For all our family members, we ask that you would move upon them, Lord, all the needs that we have, all the things. Let us walk genuinely in your spirit, Lord, seeking your face through fasting, prayers, supplications. Lord, we thank you for raising up these people, Lord, and the ones that are following faithfully, and we ask that they be amplified, just like in the days of the Fulton Revival, that the public will get involved in this somehow, and that there'll be just like prayer chains and services and new churches up, that new denominations that are not tainted by the reprobate spirit and the spirit of apostasy, Lord. The World Council of Churches, that it gets replaced with something of your word, Lord, not falling into this false religion of the last days with the religion of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Lord, we know where their destination is. It's the lake of fire, directly in the lake of fire. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. We give you the thanks and the praise. And thank you for all the people that have called in tonight and pray. And we thank you for the lifting up your name, for you are holy, you are excellent, you are glorious. There's none like unto you, Lord. And we just are asking for the many souls to come to you in these last minutes of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can come together. We thank you that we can line up with your word, Lord. We know that when we line up with your word, there are great blessings. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I'm asking that you take what we have and multiply it, Lord, and that we do a great work throughout the world. Lord, we do want to see your people. That's your heart, Lord. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, and your word in 1 John, it says, and this was manifest that the love of God towards us, in that he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his only begotten son into the world. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, you sent Jesus Christ into the world for, well, the ministry in Luke 4:18, Lord. And part of it is healing the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted in your love. Thank you, Lord. May this message, Lord, it's been suppressed. I don't know, Lord. It's weird the way it's happened, but it's been suppressed. May the bondage be removed, Lord. May this word go wide, far and wide. Take that self-suppressing. It's off. Well, Lord, part of it is they've removed it from your word. Lord, we need a cleansing of this, Lord. There are too many sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing, Lord, too many hirelings that are not telling your people the truth about what is the word of God, Lord. They won't. It's amazing, Lord. Amazing. Something has to be done about this, Lord. We're asking for a cleansing, a move of your Holy Spirit to expose this, Lord. What they've done, Lord, to... It's like a bait and switch, the word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you protected your word, Lord. We have it. You protected it. You're faithful. Thank you, Lord. bless everyone now, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one more look here. And if you want to pray for the, we've been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, call 717-409-5553. 717-409-5553. Otherwise, we'll call it a night. So it was a good night, Brother Greg.
Yeah, I like the way that the brokenhearted message is morphing into the prophecy at the end of Malachi.
Yeah, there it is, right there. Yep, there it is. And we're actually ministering like an end-time ministry when you look at it. If you look at Malachi, of course, it's it was given to the Lord 2,000 years ago. It's nothing new. The healing of the brokenhearted is nothing new, but it's kind of being revived because it's been suppressed. But the Bible makes it very clear that as we grow closer to the Lord with the revealing of the prophet Elijah, that this is going to be a prominent part of the end time message, putting hearts healed and families back together.
Yeah, it's a direct contradiction of the national things like in Nazi Germany where they remove the children from the families. They
exactly.
Broke up the families.
Yeah, the communists did the same thing, yeah.
Yes, yes. Hillary takes a village to raise a child. Things are ridiculous. It's all to get control of the children, brainwash the children, get them into reprobate activity, telling them it's just fine to do this, and just goes on and on. And this message that you discovered, the way it's turning, is in direct contradiction with that. So this is a great thing.
Yeah, whatever, what's ever in the world now is like a contradiction of the word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so tomorrow night is looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So hope to see everybody then. And God bless you. Anything else in closing, Greg? Otherwise, we're ready to close.
No, I'm just thankful for the fact that the Lord opened this door.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as a prophetic ministry now.
Amen.
And I think that that really kind of changes things, at least with me it does, to look at it that way.
Well, yeah, it fits you like a glove.
It does.
Yep.
Yeah, it really does. So, all right, God bless everybody. See you tomorrow night.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Send the fire.